Welcome to the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Joe Masato, joined by Barry Trammell, here to recap the Thunder's 117-93 loss to the Philadelphia 76ers on Saturday night in Oklahoma City. It was the Thunder's sixth straight loss. It was the Thunder's fifth loss in the last six games by at least 20 points. Kind of the same story in this one. A billion turnovers equaled a billion points off turnovers for the other team. Let's start with Darius Bazley. He did turn it over nine times, but we won't start with that. The biggest news tonight with Darius Bazley was that he returned to play. He was back on the court for the first time in 5 weeks. He had not played since before the All-Star break for what was officially listed as a left shoulder contusion. And Bazley said after the game that it was a broken scapula, which I don't know much about, but sounds a little more serious than a bruise. Bazley did a lot of good things, Barry. He was 7 of 12. He was 3 of 4 from 3. He scored the Thunder's first 6 points on back-to-back threes. Nine turnovers is a ton. Like, he was very sloppy with the ball. But first off, I think they'll just take him being back on the floor and, like, continuing his development.
Yeah, you know, he had 5 assists, too. I think Ty Jerome and Lou Dort also had 5 assists.
Yeah, and 9 rebounds.
Maladon. So, yeah, he actually was flirting with a triple-double there for a while, if you count turnovers and rebounds with the points. But it was sort of remarkable for a guy, obviously rusty, but his shot was fine. It was his ball handling, and he made just some sloppy errors. It didn't look like a timing issue so much as he just wasn't all that careful with the ball, and I assume that'll come back fairly quickly. So I was pretty encouraged because, you know, he hadn't been playing well this season.
No.
And this is a guy that going into the year was at least on the same level in my mind, and I think most Thunder fans' mind, as Lou Dort in terms of.
I remember in our preseason predictions, like, who's going to be the better second year player? Jenny picked Dort, props to her because she won that, and we picked Darius Bazley. So it wasn't out of the realm of possibility.
Right. So, you know, that was rectified pretty quickly. It became pretty clear that Dort, you know, got the brighter future. But
Bazley was good in the bubble, though.
And he was he's very good in the bubble. Very good in the bubble. And he's had some games, you know, early in the year. He had some good games, but he didn't seem to be on much of a steep improvement scale, it didn't seem to me.
Yeah, he played 36 minutes tonight, which was a team high by a mile. The next closest guy was 30 minutes, and that was Théo Maladon. So no real easing him back in. As for the turnovers, he kind of chuckled when you asked him about it. He said he didn't have an excuse, but, turnovers obviously stood out. But Bazley being back on the court was big news, as was the return of Lou Dort, the other sophomore that we have been talking about. Dort didn't miss as many games, was out for 7 games in the concussion protocol, got hit pretty good against the Celtics and has been out ever since then. 6 of 12, 2 of 4, sort of did Lou Dort things. Anything stand out about Dort's return?
No, he just picked up where he left off. I thought he was very good. He's out there covering Ben Simmons, who's 6 inches taller than him, or 5, or whatever it might be. I thought Dort had a solid offensive game and was his usual – annoying self on defense.
Yeah.
So, you know, as soon as Dort got out there, you remember, the Thunder's a step up in class when Lou Dort plays.
Mark Daigneault said after the game, it's like you could feel Dort and Bazley just from, like, an athleticism standpoint. And it makes a lot of sense. Like, you know, Bazley is pretty athletic for, you know, being 6'9", being able to handle the ball, shoot it from the outside. And play inside and indoor. Obviously, we know what he can do athletically, especially on the defensive end. So those two guys being back did make a difference as far as viewing it. The result wasn't all too different than what we've seen in the last week or so. But got to talk about Tony Bradley, Barry. It was the Tony Bradley game. Even in the loss, he had 16 and 14 against his former team. Joel Embiid, he pleaded with Sam Presti, build around Tony Bradley, Joel Embiid tweeted after the trade. The Thunder are not going to build around Tony Bradley, but it was cool to see, like, every Sixer, you know, or most every one of them came over to Tony Bradley before the game. They seemed really happy to see him. And, you know, Bradley came off the bench and put up pretty good numbers against Embiid and his former team. So it was cool to see that for Tony Bradley.
Yes, and after the game, they seemed, you know, pretty happy for the guy to have a strong game, 16-14 game. So, you shouldn't be building around Tony Bradley. I'm not sure I'd build one possession around Tony Bradley. he was semi.
Oh, man.
He's not near as good of a player as I was led to believe.
He was carrying the now first place Sixers while Joel was out.
Yeah, but he had a good game tonight, no doubt about it. You gotta get, you know, when you play a team you just came from, you want to be impressive. It's like seeing an old girlfriend. You wanna look your best. So I think what we see with that is he also knew the Sixers. He knew a few things he could probably do. He was up against Embiid quite a bit, and that's a mess for anybody. But it was a nice touch for Bradley to play that well, and you know, portends that he actually does have the Thunder now just keeps trotting out centers who produce double doubles. Moses Brown's been doing it. Now you got Tony Bradley doing it. So. It can't hurt for this guy to have a game like that, but I don't know that Joel Embiid has a big future as a talent evaluator.
Well, he's going to be the next GM of.
He's no Elton Brand.
it's also like, I mean, not to discredit a 16 and 14 game, but we've talked about, you know, similar to some of the Moses Brown games, it's a bit of a product of the environment, and those stats have to go somewhere, and on a team that's as depleted as this one, random guys are going to step up every night and put up pretty big numbers. Joel Embiid, breaking news, is quite talented. He was 10 of 17 tonight, 27 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, a handful of blocks. He had like just a huge block of Darius Bazley to close the first half. Just like the ball evaporated basically when it was near Joel Embiid. His MVP candidacy has certainly lost a lot of steam, seeing as though, you know, he's missed 18 games and was out for a good long while. LeBron has obviously been out for a while, so he's kind of in that similar spot. And as those guys have been out, Jokic is, I think, the clear front runner. You've got Lillard now in that discussion, Giannis, of course. James Harden has vaulted right near the top. But if Embiid finishes out the season and keeps doing what he's doing, and if the Sixers finish first, I think he's going to have a pretty strong candidacy, because he is he looked dominant tonight, and he's looked that way much of the season.
Yeah, he looked fantastic. Didn't take a bunch of bad shots, which sometimes he does. Let's see, he took 2 3-pointers in the past. He's sort of, past years, he's sort of fallen into that trap, which is not good, taking too many threes. He didn't do much of that today. He's good on the step back, or the one-footed, the Dirk Nowitzki shot. When he gets sort of angry, he can sort of bull his way to the basket. He's got a lot of different ways he can score. And he made the Thunder pay repeatedly tonight.
Yeah, just a matchup nightmare for the Thunder. Another thing to mention from this game is Oleksiy Pokuševski. It's kind of strange. I was like, would have been pretty confident in saying before the game that Oleksiy Pokuševski was going to be a late scratch. I was watching him for most of his pregame warmups. A trainer was with him the entire time. He would take one shot, then he'd go to the trainer. And they'd massage his right arm shoulder area. And then, you know, he'd shake it out a little bit, take another shot, then shake his head. Something's up. Like, clearly something was wrong with his arm or shoulder. Thought he was going to be scratched. He starts. He plays 8 minutes. He missed both of his shots, and he exits with right arm soreness. So it doesn't seem like it's going to be a big deal. Not saying that he shouldn't have played or that, you know, obviously they knew he was dealing with something. But also interested that, you know, they want their young first round pick to sort of like battle through that sort of stuff. And like, obviously the grind of playing so many games that they wanted him to at least give it a shot. And turns out he couldn't really go much tonight.
I wonder why they so dead set on Poku playing. You know, he got hurt. They had a back-to-back Wednesday and Thursday, got hurt against Charlotte. Came back and played against Cleveland on Thursday.
It was that hip injury, that posterizing dunk that he missed. He hurt his hip, you know, and then you're right. I thought he was going to for sure be out the next game, but they said they wanted him to sort of fight through it and play in the back-to-back.
I don't understand that at all. This was two times, and when it seems prudent, or just sitting down and – he just didn't do it. So I don't know. I found it interesting and not the least bit illuminating. I have no clue what's going on there. He had the great game. Was that Wednesday night? Was his great game, or was it Monday night against Detroit? Anyway, he's too valuable of a prospect to go messing with, if you ask me.
Yeah. The only thing I can think of, and I mean, Stegnall sort of indicated as much, as that, you know, this is completely new to him, and they're almost like testing to see how his body holds up. And obviously it's not something that could have long-term implications, or I'm sure he wouldn't have been out there, but it's almost like, hey, let's see how he doesn't have an NBA ready body. Like, that's been pretty clear. Let's see how much it can take. Like, I don't know. I know that doesn't sound like the best answer, but it seems to be sort of an experiment that they're doing with them.
Yeah, probably so. And maybe they feel like it's not like he got a huge rest, you know, when he was in the G League bubble. Those guys playing on an assembly line of games.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe it's time to give him a rest of 2 or 3 days and see what happens. Of course, they're off 2 straight days, which is rare this season.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe Tuesday night. Maybe you let's see, they got a back to back Tuesday and Wednesday, I think.
Utah on Tuesday night.
Yeah. So just playing one of those two games might be the way to go. I don't know.
In other, well, not really roster news, we talked about this after the last game, but Darius Miller being waived and then reportedly going to sign Gabriel Deck, the Argentine forward who plays professionally in Spain. That has not been announced. I asked Daigneault, did not use Deck's name, but asked, like, you know, there's been reports out there that, you know, you guys are doing this with that roster spot. Care to tell us anything? And he said, not right now. So I'm not quite sure what the holdup is. It seems like all indications are that Deck will indeed be signing and taking the last roster spot, but nothing new there. Barry, I know it's late. You're looking a little sleepy. How much of it is you're tired of watching 20-point, 30-point losses?
Well, I actually found this game a little more interesting for two reasons. It was more comforting, because I never felt like the Thunder could ever come back. You know, when they're up on, Detroit?
The Cavs, yeah.
And then the Cavs, and then even Charlotte, I kept thinking, you know what? This other team's screwing around and not putting this team away. But that was never the case with Philadelphia. You know, I always felt like Philadelphia was in total control. But so that makes you feel good when you're thinking about the lottery. And the other thing was, you know, I sort of enjoyed watching Embiid and Ben Simmons play. The Thunder schedule basically the month of March and into April has been fairly light. They've been playing a bunch of teams, maybe not as in bad a shape as they are in, but a bunch of teams that's not the elite of the league.
But a lot of teams that want the same things the Thunder want. No,
that's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And so it's sort of fun to watch an elite team. Now they're missing Tobias Harris and Danny Green and whoever else. I can't remember.
And George Hill, who's
a local boy made good. Been here like 4 months. But anyway, so I enjoyed that part of it. And sort of the same way I'll enjoy watching Utah on Tuesday night. So good for all concerned that the Thunder played them not well, but Thunder was about as competitive against them as they were in these other teams they're playing. Only down 14 after three quarters, the Thunder was. They got smoked quickly because, let's see, 1, 2, 3, they had three turnovers in their first five possessions of the fourth quarter, and soon enough, they were down 20 points. But, but I do think just seeing some new blood, some elite teams sort of fortified me as a NBA watcher this season.
It gave you hope for the sport.
That's right. Not everybody stinks, apparently.
Yeah, I had the same thought, and I was like, wow, this team is, pretty good if you add Tobias Harris, Danny Green, and George Hill, because they're already pretty good even without those guys. Last thing, Barry, the Sixers are now tied with the Nets atop the East. I will throw in the Bucks if you'd like. I will throw in the Hawks, Heat, Celtics, the Knicks. Who's your favorite? Who's your favorite to come out of the East?
First of all, please do not aboard the Nick Express. I was on a USA Today roundtable this week, and that was one of the questions. How serious are we supposed to be about the Knicks? I looked up their record. At the time, they were one game under 500. So
I was going straight down the standings. I'm not aboard the Knicks Express. I was reading the standings in order. I was just going. There's like three clear top teams.
Right.
Brooklyn, Philly, and Milwaukee. I do have the Heat in there. Is obviously the defending Eastern Conference champs. But who among those top three do you like the best?
Well, I mean, I think the Nets are going to be the toughest to beat. I do think Sixers have a chance. I think the Bucks have a chance. I don't like Miami this year, but I think the Bucks could be primed for the playoffs for the first time. Drew Holiday's a wonderful player. He will translate to the playoffs. But the Nets have so many ways to score.
Yeah.
They're tough to beat. And the Sixers are an elite team. They play great defense. When everybody's around, they play great defense. And Ben Simmons is an incredibly underrated player. So it's a three-team race in the East. It's sort of remarkable that there are more I don't know what the word is. There's more NBA title contenders in the West, but in some ways, the East is more intriguing because those three are so much ahead of everybody else. I'd want to finish first because I'm not sure I'd want a semifinal against one of those other.
Yeah.
Against those other three. So it should be a fun horse race in the East this year.
Yeah, I'm really excited to watch how that goes down. I also like Brooklyn the best. That's kind of the easy answer. Especially now that they've got all three of those guys healthy and just have so much, they had no depth and now they've added some depth. I'm not huge on the buyout guys, but whatever. I mean, once you have those big three, the rest don't really matter as much. I do like Philly. I picked Philly to come out of the East last year, maybe a year too early. That certainly did not work out well. Barry, I've got one more question, and it's about the Nets, and we don't get to talk about the Nets anymore because that series is over. But James Harden is surging up the MVP board. Should he be – how would you – if you're voting, how would you take into account the way he forced himself out of Houston and whether or not that should be a wrap against his MVP candidacy?
I would hold it against him. I really would, as opposed to somebody like Giannis or Joel Embiid or Jokic, or even Rudy Gobert, who I think is a wonderful, wonderful underrated candidate. So that's sort of what how I see it. I think Harden's a great player, but I'm not ready to put any kind of laurel wreath on his head just yet.
Yeah, I sort of agree. I think he could make a pretty strong case for number two right now. I think Jokic is still my favorite, but that is that's more MVP talk than we needed to do tonight after a blowout Sixers Thunder game. So that will be it. Taking a couple days off, as are the Thunder, of course. They'll be back in action against the Jazz, and we will talk to you guys then.